Good morning. Well, welcome back. We had a couple of weeks off there, not intentional, and as you know, when it snows, especially like it has the last couple of weeks on Sunday, it seems like the snowstorms always seem to find their way on a Saturday night or a Sunday, which shows me that the devil loves snow. I'm pretty convinced that God not so much, but then again, biblically, it talks about the storehouses of snow, so we have to know that God works through snow, although I can't see it. I do know that as we go through the winter, there are challenges for all of us. I think the most important thing is watch where you're walking. Be careful out there. A little slip and you can be in pain for the rest of the winter or worse. So be careful out there. As you can see, our usual abundant supply of street parking, this happens. And it's so bad, and I feel bad for the people that live in this neighborhood. They did a terrible job. The town did an absolutely awful job, if they did anything at all, in clearing out those spaces in front of the high school. And now that the high school is vacant, I think they just didn't care. And so, unfortunately, we have that situation. Now, if one of you drives a plow, and you happen to drive down this street with that plow, and you just happen to plow out those spots, God will bless you. But anyway, aside from that, just understand, I think we all fit in the lot today, double parking. We're going to make it work. We're going to do whatever we can. Some of you just, you know, came in a little later and you're here and you found a place to park. And I'm grateful for that. I've been praying all week that you would. It's not going to get easier for the next couple of weeks because the temperatures are going to stay in the single digits or double digits. And so, or the teens, I should say. So there are things you can do. One, you can pray for warmer weather. I highly encourage that. The other thing you can do is get here early. And, you know, that doesn't increase the number of spots, but it increases the likelihood of you getting one. The other thing that you can do is that you can carpool. So let's say you have a neighbor that comes to the church. You live relatively close to one another. What a great opportunity. You can huddle together for warmth in the car and come here together, and you free up a spot, right? You free up a spot. So if it's possible, if you have a two-car family and for whatever reason you're coming right now and you're bringing two cars, maybe consider not doing that for the next couple of weeks. We're going to get through it. Amen? Amen. Amen. We're going to get through it. Well, again, good morning. We're in Leviticus chapter 13. And in chapter 13, we have one of those wonderfully interesting topics about infectious skin diseases and mildew. And I'll be honest with you, I've taught this chapter before, and there's always something in the word for us. In fact, the crazy thing is, I was up in Rhode Island training yesterday all day, and I came back, and when I got into the house, I said, oh yeah, I thought I was going to teach it 2 weeks ago, and now I thought it was going to teach it a week ago, and now I'm going to teach it this morning, and I'm thinking, Lord. So I prayed, and I highly recommend you do that when you can. Except that all night, literally, I kept waking up and thinking of things for application today. So it's like, what? Maybe next time I won't pray so hard because I didn't get as good a sleep as I wanted to. I had so much that I saw in this text. So here's how we're going to handle this today. I'm going to go through the text. Obviously, do we really care to know too much about skin diseases and mildew? No, but I'm going to go through it. I'm going to cover it historically. I'm going to talk about some of the reasons why they had these quarantines in place, which we all know makes sense. And then I'm going to get through that as quickly as I can. And then I want to share some of the things that the Lord has shown me, some application for us personally, how we can spiritually and look at this and apply it to our lives, and how important it is to know that when someone's infected, when someone is contagious, that we have to isolate them for the sake of others. Let's pray. Lord, Heavenly Father, we pray for your word to just touch our hearts, Lord, and I'm grateful. I don't deserve the wisdom and the application that you share with me when I open up my heart to hear it from your word. None of us do. But I pray that you'd equip me and enable me to share the things you've shown me, that it might be a blessing to all of us today. And we pray that you would do this by the power of Jesus. Amen. Okay, so let's start by just reading the first 8 verses. Like I said, going to go through this quickly, very self-explanatory, but you need the background in order for us to go to the next step. So we start by looking at chapter 13 in the book of Leviticus in verses 1 through 8. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron, when anyone has a swelling or a rash or a bright spot on his skin that may become an infectious skin disease, he must be brought to Aaron the priest or to one of his sons who is a priest. The priest is to examine the sore on his skin, and if the hair in the sore has turned white and the sore appears to be more than skin deep, it is an infectious skin disease. And when the priest examines him, he shall pronounce him ceremonially unclean. If the spot on his skin is white but does not appear to be more than skin deep, and the hair in it has not turned white, the priest is to put the infected person in isolation for 7 days, and on the seventh day, the priest is to examine him. And if he sees that the sore is unchanged and is not spread in the skin, he is to keep him in isolation another 7 days. On the seventh day, the priest is to examine him again, and if the sore has faded and is not spread in the skin, the priest shall pronounce him clean. It is only a rash, and the man must wash his clothes, and he will be clean. But if the rash does spread in his skin after he has shown himself to the priest, to be pronounced clean, he must appear before the priest again. And the priest is to examine him, and if the rash has spread in the skin, he shall pronounce him unclean. It is an infectious disease. Now, listen, why does the Bible have this? Why is so much given on this subject? Because one of the absolute awful conditions that you could have had in the ancient world were skin problems. I mean, they didn't know what was leprosy. They didn't know what was a rash. All they knew is that when someone had an infectious skin disease, it would spread through the family, it would spread through the entire clan, it would spread through the tribe, and lots of people would be infected. And unfortunately for our generation, we know what it is to be placed in mandatory quarantine, don't we? Not that it worked, but we do understand, well, that was an airborne thing, right? COVID was, no quarantine worked, obviously. But this is the kind of quarantine that makes sense. If someone has an infectious skin disease, which could destroy lives and really destroy families, and they didn't have the cures that we have today, it was a very terrible thing. And leprosy was especially bad. And so they're looking to try to prevent this from spreading. It makes perfect sense. And we understand practically why this was given in the Word and indeed the whole chapter. Having said that, they did not have the ability to differentiate. They didn't have a microscope, so they didn't know what they were dealing with. So they played it safe. And those with questionable symptoms were examined by the priest. Now, the point here that we're going to get to is that the priest and his sons were responsible to examine the people. In fact, I'm going to come back to this again, but you get the very last verse of this chapter says, in verse 59, that these are the regulations concerning contamination by mildew. Okay, so whether we're talking about mildew or we're talking about an infectious disease, notice it says at the end of that, that they were responsible to make sure, as it says here, they were the ones to enforce the regulations. That's the point. And I want you to understand that somebody had to be responsible to make sure that everyone else was healthy. And that was the priest's job and his sons. So we are a kingdom of priests. And so part of what we do as spiritual leaders over our homes and in our families is to make sure that we're spiritually healthy. Physically, yes, but spiritually healthy. And so I want to make that application toward the end of our study today before we receive communion. But let's go through this. Let's understand. It was a very simple way of approaching things. You know, someone had questionable symptoms, and they didn't know what they were dealing with. So they would identify those with obvious symptoms as unclean. That's a no-brainer, right? And then they would quarantine those with questionable symptoms. If they had any questions, they would quarantine the person, which is what we do today. Isn't it amazing that with all of our technology, computers, electron microscopes, antibiotics, all that we have, all the knowledge and medical knowledge we possess today, we do the same thing ultimately when it comes to infectious disease. I mean, that's it. This is what we do. So how did God know? See, I think these things are important to realize. The reason that the Israelites received this from the Lord is because God was caring for them to keep them healthy. They didn't know this. They couldn't have known these things would work, but they knew because God told them. And that should help you to understand that the Word of God is true. Amen? So it really proves the truth of Scripture. It's a proof text. But the priest would quarantine those with questionable symptoms, and those that improved were released and identified as clean. Those that worsened were identified as unclean. Very simple. You're going to see that repeated over and over again. We get to verses 9 through 10. When anyone has an infectious skin disease, he must be brought to the priest, and the priest is to examine him. And if there is a white swelling in the skin that has turned the hair white, and there is raw flesh in the swelling, it is a chronic skin disease, and the priest shall pronounce him unclean. He is not to put him in isolation because he is already unclean. So when it was obvious open sores, something like that, they just didn't even bother with the quarantine. They just understood this person's unclean. And it may seem cruel to designate someone unclean, as we'll see in our chapter today. But remember, this is for the benefit of all. This is what's best for the community. And really, what other choice do you have? Think about it. What other choice do you have? If someone had a very infectious disease, trying to think like maybe tuberculosis or smallpox or something very infectious, measles nowadays, because many people are not inoculated for that, you wouldn't want them to come to church, would you? Especially like if they knew they were sick. I mean, when you guys get the colds now, I mean, I think we're well-trained after COVID, and you're coughing and you're sneezing. Do you remember when, before COVID, if you were coughing and sneezing, you still went to work? You know, you don't do that anymore, do you? Because you understand, hopefully by now, that that's not the appropriate response. When you're not feeling well, please don't come to church. When your children aren't feeling well, please don't bring them to church. If your child has some type of infectious disease, or you do, well, quarantine yourself. Isolate yourself. Don't put yourself in a situation out of love to infect others. That's what we're talking about. Very much community thinking. So now we get to verses 12 through 17. Now we're going to talk about what's called systemic symptoms. It's a little different than a topical rash. For example, and again, how could the Israelites have even known this unless God told them, right? So if this disease breaks out, notice, all over his skin, which you would think would be worse. But it says, if it does, so far as the priest can see, it covers all the skin of the infected person from head to foot. The priest is to examine him, and if the disease has covered his whole body, he shall pronounce that person clean. Now that's interesting. That almost seems antithetical. Since it is all turned white, he is clean. But whenever raw flesh appears on him, he will be unclean. And the priest sees the raw flesh, he shall pronounce him unclean. The raw flesh is unclean. He has an infectious disease. Should the raw flesh change and turn white, he must go to the priest, and the priest is to examine him. And if the sores have turned white, the priest shall pronounce the infected person clean, and then he will be clean. So you see this idea of clean and unclean, contagious or not contagious, all comes down to an identification, an examination. And when you think about the way the medical field works today, you go in for an exam, they examine you, maybe they do some tests, and they try to determine if what you have is contagious. If it proves to be contagious, you are quarantined. Again, where did they come up with this knowledge? It fascinates me. Those of you in the medical field probably appreciate that this is ancient knowledge from God, and we follow it today to some degree, certainly. Okay, so here we have a systemic problem. Now, the priest would identify those with open sores, without open sores, with a systemic rash, as clean. It's systemic. It's in the bloodstream. It's in the body. It's not a topical thing. Okay, at that point, you know that, and the priest was told, and he would identify those with open sores as unclean. So the priest would identify those whose sores have healed then as clean. So it wasn't like you were unclean forever. If you got better, you were reintroduced into the community. Sound familiar? Of course. Those of you who have children in public school or Christian school, you know that, you know, sometimes if the kids get sick, you have to get a doctor's note, right, to get back into school. Well, that's what this is. Pretty simple stuff. Okay, so we talked about systemic. Now we're going to talk about questionable symptoms, not pleasant, from a boil. Okay, so this is a sore of a particular type. And we read in verse 18, we'll get through this quickly. When someone has a boil on his skin and it heals, and in the place where the boil was a white swelling or reddish white spot appears, he must present himself to the priest, and the priest is to examine it. And if it appears to be more than skin deep in the hair and it is turned white, the priest shall pronounce him unclean, and it is an infectious skin disease that has broken out where the boil was. But if, when the priest examines it, there is no white hair in it, and it is not more than skin deep and has faded, then the priest is to put him in isolation for 7 days. And if it is spreading in the skin, the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is infectious. But If the spot is unchanged and has not spread, it is only a scar from the boil, and the priest shall pronounce him clean. So again, same idea, different condition, same approach. Essentially, identify those with obvious symptoms. And I want you to remember these principles. We're going to come back to them. Identify those with obvious symptoms as unclean, right? And quarantine those with questionable symptoms, if you're not sure. And those that get worse are unclean. Those that improve are clean. That's the pattern that's going to happen over and over again. Now we get to people with burns. Because sometimes, and I think you probably know this, when someone gets severe burns, infection. That's the concern. Your skin is compromised, and medically speaking, you're very vulnerable. And many times people that are severely burned die from the infection. You know, not so much from the burn, but from the infection that comes as a result. So when someone's burned, they're very susceptible to infectious disease too. So that's a concern. And so we read in verses 24 through 28, when someone has a burn on his skin and a reddish white or white spot appears in the raw flesh of the burn, the priest is to examine the spot. And if the hair in it has turned white and appears to be more than skin deep, it is an infectious disease that is broken out in the burn, and the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is an infectious skin disease, but if the priest examines it, and there is no white hair in the spot, and if it is not more than skin deep and is faded, then the priest is to put him, again, in isolation for 7 days. On the seventh day, the priest is to examine him, and if it is spreading in the skin, the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is an infectious skin disease. If, however, the spot is unchanged and is not spread in the skin, but is faded, it is a swelling from the burn, and the priest shall pronounce him clean. It is only a scar from the burn. Now, I'm sure we appreciate this. And in fact, I know we appreciate. You know how I know that we appreciate this, even though we may not choose to study this or teach this scripture? You know, I'm not as fortunate as you. I teach expositionally. I have no choice. But honestly, there's so much. I can't wait to get to the end of this study because there's so much good stuff here. But you know how I know that people appreciate information like this? Have you ever heard of a website called WebMD? Let me ask you, how many times in the last year or 5 years have you gone to WebMD and diagnosed yourself? You know you do this. You go on there and it's amazing how, it's funny, the symptoms are also similar. Dr. Ed is an internist, right? So it's like, these are the things that doctors do. I highly recommend you stay off that site. I have gone onto that site and diagnosed myself with some of the worst conditions known to man. I heard about this disease that was spread through mice, and I pretty much, because mice had gotten into our crawl space, I pretty much convinced myself I had a month to live. So WebMD, very, very dangerous. I'm sure that those in the medical field have experienced this, where a patient comes in and they've already diagnosed themselves, they have a will, they're ready to go, and the doctor says, "You're clean." So, you know, I know people appreciate this stuff. When you have a skin condition, you want to know, right? I mean, so you go to WebMD. Well, in this particular case, they didn't have WebMD. They had the word of God. Amen. Sufficient for all things. So in this situation, we're looking at burns. Again, I'm going to repeat this because this pattern comes up at the end in our study. The priest would identify those with obvious symptoms as clean or unclean based on their symptoms, right? So if they had obvious symptoms, they were unclean. The priest would quarantine those with questionable symptoms, and those that worsened were identified as unclean. Those that improved, released, and identified as clean. That's the pattern. All right, now we get to an interesting questionable symptoms from a head or chin sore, okay? So the particular type of skin condition. I remember when I was a kid, I don't know too much about this, but I remember in school, if you came to school and you had like a sore on your face, they would say this word, and it was like a fate worse than death because you were thrown out of school. Impetigo. Did anybody ever hear that when they were a kid growing up? You could have impetigo. I didn't know what it was. But it sounded like leprosy to me. I'm going to have to ask Dr. Ed what impetigo is. I don't even know. I just know that when I heard that as a kid, impetigo, I'm like, what is it? I don't know, but you can't come to school. It can't be good. I would love to get out of school, but not with impetigo. Again, I don't even know what it is. But apparently you got it from like dirty mats if things weren't cleaned in the gym class. And it's a skin condition of some type. Anyway, somebody later is going to come up to me during coffee when I don't want to talk about skin diseases. And they're going to tell me the gory details. But for now, let's leave it. impetigo. All right. I'm sure there's a better name of it now, for it now, one that we're more familiar with. I'm just not a medical professional. Okay, so let's read verses 29 through 37. We go through this. We're almost there. If a man or woman has a sore on the head or on the chin, the priest is to examine the sore, and if it appears to be more than skin deep in the hair and it is yellow and thin, the priest shall pronounce that person unclean, and it is an itch, an infectious disease of the head or chin. But if, when the priest examines this kind of sore, it does not seem to be more than skin deep and there is no black hair in it, then the priest is to put the infected person in isolation for 7 days, and on the seventh day, the priest is to examine the sore. And if the itch is not spread and there is no yellow hair in it, and it does not appear to be more than skin deep, he must be shaved except for the diseased area, and the priest is to keep him in isolation another 7 days. On the seventh day, the priest is to examine the itch, and if it is not spread in the skin and appears to be no more than skin deep, the priest shall pronounce him clean, and he must wash his clothes, and he will be clean. But if the itch does spread in the skin after he has pronounced him clean, the priest is to examine him, and if the itch is spread in the skin, the priest does not need to look for yellow hair. The person is unclean. If, however, in his judgment, it is unchanged and the black hair has grown in it, the itch is healed and he is clean, and the priest shall pronounce him clean. So if you were a priest, I'm sure you're pretty happy with these guidelines, very explicit. And if you were a person and you were suffering from type of skin condition, which quite frankly was probably the most common medical condition that people dealt with living in this world at this time, I'm sure of it, because, you know, things were not hygienically clean in general. These people were told to wash their hands before they ate. Imagine that. They were told not to touch dead things. They were told some pretty good things. Do you know how I know this was God? Because when they followed God's word, they were blessed and they were healthy, which is, as we've been talking about, what God wanted and what this is really all about. So, again, pattern. Priest would identify those with obvious symptoms as unclean, quarantine those with questionable symptoms, those that improved are released and identified as clean, and those that worsened identified as unclean. Okay? By the time we get to the application, you'll have that drilled into your head. So now what about somebody just has a rash? You know, the person that goes on WebMD and diagnoses themselves with leprosy or Hansen's disease, this is for you. Verse 38, when a man or woman has white spots on the skin and the priest is to examine them, and if the spots are dull and white, it is a harmless rash that is broken out on the skin, that person is clean. So relax. Okay, that's the idea. That's, again, that person that diagnoses, self-diagnoses themselves, this is not, you don't need to worry about it. It's okay. Are you sure, doctor? Yes, absolutely. Okay, so that's what that's all about. Okay, this is an interesting portion of scripture. I'm going to have some fun with this, because everything up till now is a little fun, but this is really fun. Okay, so let's start with verse 40. I'm going to read the section and come back to a little bit. So when a man has lost his hair and is bald, he is clean. If he has lost his hair from the front of his scalp and his bald forehead, he is clean. But if he has a reddish white sore on his bald head or forehead, it is an infectious disease breaking out on his head or forehead. The priest is to examine him, and if the swollen sore on his head or forehead is reddish white, like an infectious skin disease, the man is diseased and is unclean. The priest shall pronounce him unclean because of the sore on his head. Okay, now I'm going to tell you a funny story. I think it's funny. Back in 2010, I went to a pastor's conference, Calvary Chapel Pastor's Conference in Murrieta, California. It's the last time I got on a plane and traveled to a pastor's conference, because now we drive to Philadelphia, and also all of those sessions are videotaped and they're put online and you have access to them. So, to be honest with you, the incentive to travel to a pastor's conference is gone for me, right? So back in 2010, went to Murrieta, had a lovely time. It was wonderful. Pastor Chuck was still with us and we had some wonderful speakers. It was at a time where within Calvary Chapel, we were asking the question about worship music and praise music, because so much of what was coming out was very entertainment-based, and it was kind of focused on us and not on God. So there was a movement within the church in Western society, and part of this movement was, you know, the music needs to be more entertainment-based, and, you know, it's really gone to extremes now, but we won't get into that. But there was another group of people who were convinced that all praise and worship songs should come from Scripture. That if you were going to sing a praise and worship song, it should come from the Psalms. It should be, you know, biblically based, at least paraphrased biblically based. So during one of the sessions with all of the pastors, a worship leader came up and he had a little fun. And he said, I want to, and this was tapping into this movement of conservative praise and worship leaders saying all of the different scriptures, all the different songs have to come from Scripture. So he started, he was at the piano and he started a song, and it went something like this. And the man whose hair is falling off his head, he is bald, but he is clean. And he went on again and go, and the man whose hair is falling off his head, he is bald, but he is clean. Everyone together, he is bald, he is bald, he is clean, he is clean. And the man whose hair is falling off his head, he is bald, but he is clean. And everyone was laughing. You couldn't even get through. It was hysterical. And he made his point that just because a praise and worship song comes from Scripture, directly from the Bible, by the way, that's King James, it doesn't mean it's any more sacred than a song that someone wrote from the heart led by the Spirit of God. That was the point. But I am telling you, I was crying. It was so funny. And when he got to the, repeat after me, he is bald, and everybody, the whole place did it. He is bald, he is clean, he is, it was great. Every time I get to that scripture, that's what I think of. And it puts a smile on my face. But what this scripture is essentially saying is that hair loss was questionable. Why was someone losing their hair? Many of you have probably asked. Gentlemen, maybe you've asked that question. Well, the priest would identify those with male pattern baldness as clean. You're just bald, but you're clean. And those with obvious symptoms, again, unclean. All right, so I had a little fun there. But the truth is, most of what we're reading here isn't all that fun to read. So I'm so grateful that that happened to me so that when I teach this chapter, I can at least make you laugh a little. Okay, so let's get to the last section here, verses 45 through 46. And in this section, we now are talking about someone with an infectious disease, but also someone who needs to deal with it in the same way that all of the other diseases were dealt with. In this particular case, it's all about isolation. And it's going to come up again in our, as we get to the end of the study. It's all about isolation. Those with confirmed infectious diseases were to be isolated. That's the point, regardless of what it was, to prevent further infection. And so we read, verse 45, the person with such an infectious disease must wear torn clothes. That was a way of having one of those, like, those little symbols, you know, those symbols you see in the hospital when something's infectious. Those little scary symbols, the red ones, the kind of like arcs or circles. Well, this is their way of doing that. The person with such an infectious disease must wear torn clothes and let his hair be unkempt, cover the lower part of his face and cry out, unclean, unclean. As long as he has the infectious, the infection, he remains unclean and he must live alone. He must live outside the camp. Now, when I used to read the New Testament, I used to say, boy, that's so cruel. It's so cruel. How could they be so cruel? And people were cruel to people with leprosy. But what's your alternative? Think about it. Think it all the way through. What is your alternative? If not that, in this culture at that time, what is your alternative? There is no alternative. This is the only thing you can do to keep everyone healthy, is to isolate someone with an infectious disease. So they're to identify themselves by their dress, so people would know, and announce themselves as they're walking through a crowd so that no one bumps into them. And maybe you, like me, have read accounts of leprosy in the Bible, Old and New Testament, and thought that people were just so cruel. It wasn't that. People can be cruel, but it was about God's word. It was about keeping everyone safe and keeping everyone healthy. So someone who was identified as unclean, either temporarily or for life, was forced to live alone in isolation. And that is sad, but God can heal. And isn't it wonderful that many times Jesus, when dealing with someone with leprosy or skin conditions, and when they talk about leprosy in the Bible, it's not necessarily Hansen's disease. It's an infectious skin disease of some type. That God could heal it is proven in the fact that the priest was to examine these conditions to see if God had healed it. So what did Jesus say when he healed people? Go and present yourself to the priest. Why did he do that? Leviticus 13. Now I understand why Jesus said that. Because you needed to present yourself to the priest to get a clean bill of health, like you might have your child get a note from the doctor that says, it's not impetigo. Okay. Let's get through the last section here because it's all really wrapped up together, and then I'm going to be able to make the application that I can't wait to share with you. Okay, so looking at this, this has to do with the examination of mildew or mold of some type and contamination in clothing. You know, for many years, we didn't think much of mold and mildew, but over the last 20 to 30 years especially, we've come to understand the danger of mold. Nowadays, people are so amped up that if they see any mold, it's a toxic waste site. You know what I mean? There are different types of mold. There's mold that's mold. It means you just need to clean your shower. There's mold that comes into your basement because it's damp. There's mold that happens because there was a flood. There's mold in the ceiling because there's a leak. Some of these molds are so toxic they can kill you or create autoimmune issues or put you in the hospital or take your life. I mean, some of this stuff is really, really bad. You know, mushrooms are mold, essentially. They're fungi. They're in the same category. And I was just reading an article about, and you hear this all the time, people who do what they call foraging for mushrooms or shrooming or mushrooming. And so they go out and they pick mushrooms and they eat them. Hey, listen, right now, I'm telling you right now, I'm fine going to ShopRite to buy mushrooms. I figure probably not going to die. And in Europe, you know, there are people that have done this for years. They have knowledge. I used to say to my grandmother, Gram, when you guys would pick mushrooms, like, how did you know they weren't poison? And you know what she told me? This is pretty cool. She goes, oh, simple. We used to put the mushrooms in a big pot of water and put a silver coin in there. If the coin turned green, they were poison. Isn't that cool? I don't know if it worked. They're alive, so I guess it did. They lived. See, that kind of knowledge is forgotten. It sounds so simple. We don't have it anymore. So there's a mushroom called a death cap. And people have been so stupid about this. Apparently there's a false death cap, and it's delicious, and you're fine to eat it. And then there's the death cap, and if you eat it, your liver fails, your kidneys fail, you die. Can I ask the question, if they look so much alike, why would you even like put it on the menu? Like, isn't it easier to just say, no way am I going near a mushroom that looks like that? But there's people, and right now in California, they had a recent outbreak of issues with mushroom poisoning because people were eating death cap mushrooms, which will kill you or leave you in a state you don't even want to think about. Something, right? So point, mushroom, fungi, it can be very dangerous or delicious. So you need some help here, right? We need to know what to do. And so the Bible is going to tell us about some things here for these people. And what would commonly happen, as happens today, clothing, fabric, leather, would be contaminated with mold or mildew from moisture. And they needed to know, do I throw out my jacket? Do I throw out my cloak? Do I throw out my outfit because it's contaminated with mold? Or do I just wash it? You know, what's the answer? So we read in verse 47 of this section, if any clothing is contaminated with mildew, any woolen or linen clothing, any woven or knitted material of linen or wool or any leather or anything made of leather, if the contamination in the clothing or leather or woven or knitted material or any leather article is greenish or reddish, it is a spreading mildew and must be shown to the priest. Notice, shown to the priest. The priest is to examine the mildew and isolate the affected article for 7 days. On the seventh day, he's to examine it. And if the mildew has spread in the clothing or the woven or knitted material or the leather, whatever it's used, it is a destructive mildew. The article is unclean and he must burn up the clothing or the woven or knitted material of wool or linen or any leather article that has contamination in it. Because the mildew is destructive, the article must be burned up. Now that makes sense, doesn't it? I mean, it just makes sense. After what we've talked about, you want to make sure that you don't have dangerous mold growing in your house or on your body, of all things. And so you need to deal with that. So the potentially contaminated clothing was carefully examined by the priest. He isolated the clothing for further examination, identified the clothing with destructive mildew as unclean, and then burned the clothing to prevent further contamination. That makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? Okay, looking at the next section here, just I guess 53 through 55 or wherever we left off. But if the priest examines it, the mildew has not spread in the clothing or the woven or knitted material or leather article, he shall order that the contaminated article be washed. Okay, so they examine it first, and then after a certain amount of time, they wash it. And then he is to isolate it for another 7 days, and after the affected article has been washed, the priest is to examine it, and if the mildew has not changed its appearance, even though it has not spread, it is unclean. Burn it with fire, whether the mildew has affected one side or the other. And if, when the priest examines it, the mildew has faded after the article has been washed, and he is to tear the contaminated part out of the clothing or leather or woven or knitted material. But if it reappears in the clothing or in the woven or knitted material or in the leather article, it is spreading, and whatever has the mildew must be burned with fire. The clothing or the woven or knitted material or any leather article that has been washed and is rid of the mildew must be washed again, and it will be clean. These are the regulations. Notice I mentioned that before. These are the regulations concerning contamination by mildew in woolen or linen clothing, woven or knitted material, or any leather article, for pronouncing them clean or unclean. And so the priest is responsible to make a determination. All of that to say that the leader is responsible to examine and make a determination. So potentially uncontaminated clothing was still carefully re-examined by the priest, washed, isolated for further examination, and then he identified the clothing as destructive mildew. That became unclean, and they burned the clothing to prevent further contamination. But clothing and cloth was so valuable. Oh, by the way, we have no concept of this. Michelle and I have talked about this recently. We went to a spinning demonstration a couple of weeks ago where they actually spin wool. It wasn't my idea, but I'm a good husband. So we went to this. It was actually quite fascinating. And when you see the work that is involved in going from shearing the sheep, combing out the wool, right, cleaning it all up, placing it into the spinning wheel, spinning it how they have to do, spin it. And then they haven't even done, all they did was, like, you go to the store and buy thread, that's where you're at. You haven't even done anything yet except make your thread. So now you take the thread that you've made, and so, you know, the spinning is pretty incredible, actually. So they spin the wool, now they have this wool, this thread, and then they begin to make things with it. And that could include weaving, sewing, embroidery, whatever they do. Now this garment that you have spent who knows how many hours on has gotten a spot on it, and you're thinking, what? You take the most conservative approach that you can take. You don't just throw it in the fire and burn it, because today we do that. Today, you get a shirt, you have something that's of import to you, something that you appreciate, that you like, but it gets stained, you might just throw it out. Not then. Never. So they would do everything they could to preserve at least the rest of the garment, and then they'd patch it. And I'm not going to remember the name, but my wife has gotten into this art form. She's very good with fabric and things. And it's a Japanese thing. And she sent me a video, a YouTube video, where they have basically an exhibition on the cloth of ancient Japan. And they would have these cloaks and these garments, and they look like they went through the war, right? But they look something between tattered garments and quilted garments, because essentially whatever they had, they held on to. And they would go through this thing, and, you know, it looks like it's quilted. And what Michelle's recently done with my jeans that I was using for, like, painting, they're ripped in the front. I know some of you guys go and you buy jeans like this, you pay extra for them. I'm not that guy. I'm 60 years old. My jeans are torn. You won't see me wearing them. So I had, like, 6 pair. So I'm purging the closet, and she goes, you know, I can save these. I'm like, Michelle, I don't like patches. I don't want to see patches. That to me, eh. So she goes, don't worry. She explored this whole thing. And she put together this whole, I wish I could remember the name, Shibori? Shishiko. There we go. Sounds like shishuka to me. But anyway, shishiko. That's a different thing. Everything with me is food. Yeah. Right? Shakalaka, right? Help me out, Andrew, right? Remember when your wife made that shakalaka? I never forgot that word. Shishiko, I forget, but not shakalaka. Or shishuka, which is an egg dish from northern Africa. Anyway, has nothing to do with the study today. The point I'm trying to make is that they absolutely preserve their garments, and my wife has done that with my jeans. So if you see, I'll point them out to you if you want to see. I'll wear them on Wednesday. I wouldn't wear them on Sunday. But you know, when I'm just kind of hanging around, whatever, they're beautiful. It's like a work of art. But that's because they value what they have, and there's a lesson there. In valuing what we have and appreciating what we have and recycling what we have and taking care of what we have and not living in a throwout society, a throwaway society. But they lived that way. And so I looked at this exhibition. It was beautiful, beautiful, beautiful garments and like almost like quilts. But you could see the layers and layers of repair. They turned it into beauty. There's more I could say about that, but let's move on. So all that to say, the clothing was very important to them. So potentially uncontaminated clothing was carefully repaired. They repaired it, but the priest repaired it. And the priest removed the affected area of cloth from the clothing just to be safe. The clothing was burned if the mildew returned. I mean, if they cut it out and it came back, it's done. But if the clothing was washed again and the mildew did not return, they just washed it and it kept going. The priest identified the repaired clothing as clean. I know it seems a little silly, but the priests were responsible to identify contaminated clothing as clean or unclean and contaminated skin or people as clean or unclean. Let's recap. Let's remember the process. That which was obviously contaminated was declared to be unclean, whether it was a person or a garment, whatever it was. Questionable, they quarantined. After quarantine, what became worse was unclean. What became better was clean. Now, as a priest, as a sort, as a pastor, as a leader, many of you here are leaders, but you're priests and pastors over your home, all of you, you need to take the same approach in life. We're not going to talk about clothing anymore. We're not going to talk about skin diseases. I'm talking about influence. Things that can contaminate you. Infectious things. They can be people. They can be things. People or things can contaminate you. Certain influences in your life, if not properly dealt with, will contaminate you. So are there infectious people in our lives? Toxic, we call them toxic people, yeah. Are there infectious people, people that are carrying stuff that you don't want to catch? I'm not talking physically. I'm not talking about disease now. I'm talking about a principle of isolation, quarantine, and distancing yourself. We sometimes call that boundaries, but it's a little bit more than that. Let's use the people example for a minute. If there's a person in your life that whenever you're around them, they infect you with negativity or ungodliness or vile thinking, bad jokes, nasty, dirty ways of thinking, or just really bad behavior. Maybe they're addicted to drugs or alcohol, or maybe they live in such a way that their lifestyle is just something you shouldn't be involved in. What did Paul say about those people? Have nothing to do with them. It's the same principle. They're unclean. By their choice, they're unclean. They live in such a way, right? They live in such a way that you don't want to let that in your home. You don't want that in your life. You don't want that around your children. It might be your brother or sister. It might be your parents. It might even be your children. And yet, if you allow that infectious thing into your life and it spreads, whose fault is that? I'm encouraging you in this new year to identify those people. We'll start with people, then we'll talk about things. The people in your life that when I said, do you have infectious people in your life, you thought of them, their face popped into your mind. It could be people you have to work with. It might be people that you're involved with in some aspect of your life. It might be family members. The sooner you follow the pattern, the better. What was the pattern? Let's remember the pattern. You have to identify obvious things as unclean. I've mentioned some what should be obvious things, infectious things. Someone might have a history of sexual perversion, maybe even with younger people or children. Can we say amen that that is an infectious disease, if you will? Pedophilia, right? Can we say that? Is it okay to say that? I hope so. Someone is a criminal, a thief. They commit crimes. They live in such a way that their lifestyle is illegal and the things that they do are wrong. Would we call that unclean? Can we call that unclean? Is it okay? You don't let that in your house, right? You need to protect your family. You need to protect yourself. We need to protect this church. Anyone who serves in the Sunday school goes through a background check. Not because we've ever found anyone with any questionable things, but this way we know. By the way, if someone has a questionable background and they want to serve in the children's ministry, and we say you got to do a background check, they're not gonna give us their information. That process screens it out right away. So yeah, we ask those questions. We need to. Now listen, if someone has questionable symptoms, that you're not really sure. Something rubs you the wrong way with this person. You don't know. You have no proof. There's something about them you're a little concerned about. Well, you watch them. You observe them. Here it's 7 days, but maybe a short period of time, you watch them. Does their behavior worsen? Does it improve? Do they prove to you that they're reliable or not? The Bible says, lay hands on no man suddenly for leadership. The idea is, you know, we need to be careful and prayerful. Yes, prayerful. Careful about who we allow in the front door of the church, of our homes, of our lives, of our businesses, who we hire. I'm not talking about the kind of prejudice and discrimination that has anything to do with race or gender. But I am talking about a discrimination because, by the way, to be discriminating simply means you look at a situation and you discriminate. That is, you say, I don't want a known pedophile anywhere near my home. I have children. I don't want a person known to be violent working for me. I don't want that person serving as a security guard if they have a criminal record. Are you with me? Say amen. You got what I'm saying, right? Okay, so be discriminating in a good way. Discriminate against people based on who they are. Are they clean? Are they unclean? Now listen, if they prove that they are unclean, they're unclean. If they prove that they're doing well, then they're clean. But at least go through the process. Ask these questions before you just let people in your front door. There's a danger. How many children have been abused by those that others trusted, including family members? This makes me sick. It's more disgusting than the boils and the burns and the rashes to think that someone would abuse a child. But almost always, it's a family member or trusted relative that someone never thought that maybe, just maybe, I should go through a process of isolation and quarantine before I just let someone have access to my children. Did you at least ask the question, is the person clean or unclean? All right, well, we talked about people. You got that. That almost makes it worth reading through these medical conditions this morning because that point hits us hard now. See, without the background, the application doesn't have the punch. But let's talk about things because we talked about clothing. Well, things as well. Now, things are inanimate objects, right? It's not somebody else. Now we have to look at our own hearts. What things are we putting on our bodies? What things are we allowing in our lives that might potentially contaminate us like mildew or mold? Now, aside from the obvious application, let's look a little deeper. What things come through our computers? What things come through our televisions? I mean, I don't know if anyone even has TV anymore. It's all streaming now. Right? What things are you watching? What things are you allowing in your life? What things are you reading, watching, being a part of? What things are you involved in? Your things. Don't blame anybody else. You put it on. You watched it. Is it contaminating you? You should know. How do you know? Watch. Oh, listen. I love martial arts. It is so difficult for me not to watch anything where people are killing each other. And sometimes it's really cool. Like, I've been watching these old Bruce Lee videos. I start on YouTube and I can't stop. You know, it's great. It's awesome. I love it. And it's silly and it's not too bad. With Bruce Lee, you know, you're pretty safe. But there's stuff that's out today that, you know, man, I have to turn on. All right, that's the third decapitation. This is making me unclean. I like it, but it's making me unclean. So I have to be careful. I have to constantly test my heart. Is the violence in this movie called for? Like, I was watching the Ken Burns' American Revolution, and it was pretty graphic. And it wasn't what you saw. It was like the description. Like, I won't get into it because I don't want to make you unclean. You know, description of a cannonball coming in and taking out some. And it was really graphic. Michelle's walking through. She goes, oh, my goodness. I said, I know, right? It's awesome. I'm just being honest. I like this stuff. I'm sick, man. So, but it's history. You know, so I'm watching. This was really quite fascinating and interesting. But as they're describing what is history, what is truth, they went a little overboard with some of the description of things of people dying in battle and stuff. And I'm finding myself, you know, what things really don't need to be in my mind, right? Like, there's just some of these horror movies. I have one brother, not the brother you know, but I have one brother. We have one brother who loves horror movies. And he's always telling me, oh, man, you know, and he starts describing, like, why would I watch that, bro? What you just described, I need to go to counseling. And I didn't even watch the movie. Like, that freaked me out. Like, your description of what happened, like, really made me unclean. And the truth is, I am trying to be careful about the things that I allow in my heart. Now, I train, and the things that I have to think about when I'm training are pretty graphic, right? And that's different. But do I need to feed that fire? What things, that's me. I just confessed me, okay? That's me. That's not you. That's me. That's my garment. I need to open that up and look at that. Is there mildew in that garment? Do I need to burn the whole thing? Do I need to just get rid of the whole thing? Do I need to just cut this part out and wash it? Do I need to take something that's basically good, that has some things that I really shouldn't be a part of, and discriminate between what things I'll allow myself to see, read, experience, and what things that I don't want any part of? Listen, this isn't a legalistic message. This is on you. With the people in your life, the infectious, toxic people, and with the things and influences in your life that you allow yourself to experience. I've noticed a trend in videos and TikTok things, and I don't watch a lot of that stuff. I do, though, like to watch musicians, right? So sometimes you'll get into this thing where you'll start watching videos on YouTube, like not just Bruce Lee, but I'll be watching these like guitar videos, and I mean, this is me, this is who I am. And then a commercial will come on. And I'm like, what was that? So you got to be careful, because maybe you just need to like cut parts of what you're doing in your life and allowing in your life out. Maybe it's not the whole thing. Maybe musician videos are fine, but maybe those videos need to go. You know, I'm giving you practical examples of the process that each and every one of us, myself included, need to go through. And to summarize, before we receive communion, there are infectious people in your life. There are infectious influences in your life. Cut them out. Let's pray. Lord Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Your word is always powerful and effective. It doesn't matter what we're talking about. And I thank you for... Well, I'm going to take a nap later, but I'm thankful for the somewhat sleepless night, because it kept popping into my head, these things. Because I'm convicted by them, but I'm also wanting to share your word and the truth of your word in a way that, oh Lord, blesses your people and challenges your people. And I believe you've allowed me to do that today by your grace. You've challenged us. You've spoken to our hearts through a chapter that otherwise would probably disgust us. Lord God, we only ask that as we receive communion, you begin a process And it is a process of helping us to isolate those areas of our lives and people in our lives and quarantine them for further study, or ruling outright that things just need to go. Help us to fill our lives with positivity and spiritually inspiring and uplifting influences and people, that we might live our lives for you and to your glory, we pray. In Jesus' precious name, amen.